I'm excited for Psalm 145. It's just really, really, really ministered to my heart. I kind of have committed for the last month or so to reading through the psalm daily and trying to journal about it or jot a few notes in my Bible about it. So I've really tried to pour in to what Psalm 145 is speaking to me, and it's so much, and there's so many treasures in each little verse, and every time I read it, something else pops out, and I'm just wowed and amazed at it, as I always am in God's Word. So we are going to pray again, and then I'm just going to share a little bit from my heart. We won't be lengthy tonight. Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, in just praise and worship to you. Lord, I thank you that you brought us here. I thank you for each one of these ladies, God, and I feel like each of their adjectives should be joyful because that's what they bring to my heart, and I know even more so to yours, God. And I know as you're here dwelling with us within this room, God, that you're well pleased, Lord. And so I ask that you would just minister to each of our hearts, Lord, tonight, God. I pray that you would show us things, God, and that we would grow through this study, that we would lean in closer to you, Lord, that we would hear from you better, God, and that we would grow in your word and grow in our knowledge and our understanding, and more importantly, in our love for you, God. Mm-hmm. So we lay down this evening at your feet. I lay down this whole study at your feet, and each one of these women I place in your precious and capable hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so turn in your Bibles to Psalm 145. I need three volunteers that are in Psalm 145. Don't all raise your hand at once, but I need three. All right, Debness, who else do I have? You're like, what am I volunteering for? It's not that scary. If you know how to read, I just need three volunteers. Shall I choose? All right. Debness, Dixie, do I have another D? And D. Perfect. Okay, Debness, will you stand and read verses 1 through 7 for us? So we'll do 7 verses each, okay?
I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on your glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of your might and your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing.
The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down.
The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, and to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever.
That just such an encouraging word. I love this psalm. And we're going to break down all these verses more thoroughly in our next 7 weeks of studying Psalm 145. But the gist of this psalm, the crux, the most important part of this psalm is it's really all about worship and praise. And this is something that has just been stirring on my heart, and I know some of yours as well. It just feels like this theme of unity that God's working in our hearts to worship him, to praise him, to focus on worship and praise. This psalm is a psalm of David's. I think, as you know, it probably says it in your Bible, but it's one that he sang regularly, which is a cool little bit of history. We know that there's 150 psalms in the book of Psalms, but this is interesting. Psalms, the end of Psalms, Psalms 140 through 144 are psalms of prayer, and then Psalms 145 through 150 are psalms of praise. And I love that because praise, it's like the conclusion of the matter, right? And that's where we're going with the psalms. Like, it's like mic drop. At the end of the day, just praise the Lord. And that's such a beautiful thing. I love that. For those of us who are living for here, for heaven, the nearer we get to heaven, the more we want to do what we're going to be doing in heaven, right? Which is praising the Lord, right? That's what we're going to do in heaven. And isn't it cool if we start practicing that here? We get to practice worshiping and praising God Almighty. And, like, that's an honor to do. That's something that's a privilege to do. And so why not practice it as much as possible here? I want to be really, really good at it in heaven. Do I have any competitive people here? Is there any competitive people? I'm ridiculously competitive, and I'm not even really that good at most things, but I'm very competitive about it. But one thing I want to do is I want to be a good worshiper of the Lord. I want to be faithful in that. If I'm not good at anything else, I want to be faithful in worshiping him, in praising him. And I want you guys to be too, you ladies to be as well. When Jesus was in the desert, right, when he was tempted in the desert, in Matthew 4:10, when Satan was tempting him, he said, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And John Corson says this about this scripture, and I love this. Did you notice the order? Worship comes first, service second. You might not be a missionary to Africa, an evangelist in a big stadium, or a singer on the radio, but every person can do that which blesses God, for the highest priority of ministry is not work, but worship. I like that. So worship, really, the meaning of worship is, it's like the expression of reverence and adoration. That's what it means. It literally means biblically, like we've entitled this, to turn and kiss. And I love that definition. That's never going to get old to me. So that's what we do. We're expressing our love to God, and it's like turning and kissing him, right? The intimacy in your relationship with the Lord. And then praise, we use those kind of, we mix those together interchangeably. And praise means the act of expressing approval or admiration. It's commendation, laudation. It's the offering of grateful homage in words or song as an act of worship. So it's to say worship is the expression of acknowledging God, while praise is the result of that acknowledgement. Does that make sense? Yeah, that makes sense to me. I love that because they go hand in hand. So it's saying, like, I'm singing these words of his goodness while I'm lifting my hands in the gratitude of his goodness. So you're expressing the gratitude of his goodness. So there you go, worship and praise. They're married. They work together hand in hand. So like I said, I've just been really stirred, impressed over worship. And I ask that you guys will ask God for that stirring and that pressing, to be stirred in worship, to be thinking about worship and praise, because it's beautiful to him when we're united as sisters. And so when he showed us to share on this psalm and to focus on worship and praise, he wants you all as well to be focused on that as well, right? That's what's going to make it a fruitful time. So pray over that. So how do we worship, and how do we lift our hands in praise? Like, really, how do we do it? Because in life, sometimes we're faced with things that don't make us want to worship and praise, right? We might have devastating news on our hands, right? We might have a broken heart. We might feel very hopeless. Maybe you feel like God hasn't been faithful to you, or there's been a lot of unfulfilled promises in your life. I know that we've all felt that way at one time or another. I know that I have. I know that's been a struggle for me often, honestly, often. And it's like, how do I worship you, Lord, when my heart is broken? How do I worship you when I feel like you're not hearing from me, or these promises that I know that you gave to me, they're not being fulfilled? How do we worship you? And my answer really to that is to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. Is to discipline your heart to worship him when you don't see what's going on, when you don't see the work that he's doing. Because the bottom line is, you and me, we're not God. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. We see this little tiny bit, right? We only see what's right before us. We're not always wise enough to see a big picture, and we're not really ready or prepared to see a big picture. But God, he knows. He knows the end, the beginning from the end. He sees the whole picture. He knows those fulfilled promises. He's faithful when he says he's going to do something. So whether or not you tangibly are seeing what God is doing, what you need to do is trust that he is working. He is faithful. So when you don't feel like worshiping, when you don't feel like praising, when you don't feel like opening the word of God or bowing your heart to him, do it anyway. Discipline yourself. We are called to be disciplined, right? What are people like when they're not disciplined, right? Think of a 2-year-old that's never been told no, right? They're just tantrum throwing, acting crazy like monsters, right? They're not happy like that, right? Is anyone that's laying on the ground, is any 2-year-old that's kicking and screaming, are they happy while they're doing that? Are they happy when you see in a restaurant a parent picking a kid up and their little legs are like that and their arms are flailing? They're not happy to do that, right? But what's going to make them ultimately happy? What's that father or that mother going to do to break that little 2-year-old, to get that little 2-year-old obedient? They're going to discipline them, right? Because discipline is good for us. It brings joy to our hearts to have order and to know that God is good because he is good, because he's God, right? And so discipline your heart. Worship when you don't feel like worship. Praise when you don't feel like praise. Be disciplined. And that's my exhortation for me and for you tonight. Johnny Erickson Tata, she said this. You all know who Johnny Erickson Tata is? Okay. She said, most of the verses written about praise in God's word were voiced by people faced with crushing heartaches, injustice, treachery, slander, and scores of other difficult situations. Is that true? That's so true. So anyway, as we get into this study, I'm going to ask you with Psalm 145 to study it, to meditate on it, and then to practice doing what it tells you to do. So study it, meditate on it, and practice doing it. Just do it. Just do it. Who here likes to journal? It's okay if you don't, but who likes to journal? A few of you. All right, so you have homework. Is get a pad of paper. Whatever you like. People have journals of all different types. Some people are really like journal snobs, like I only use this brand of journal. Whatever it is, some people like write on, I don't know, post-it notes. Whatever it is, discipline yourself. Get yourself a journal. It's not necessary. I'm not telling you this is directly from God. I'm saying this will change your prayer life. Is take that journal every single day, open it, and write a praise to the Lord. If that's all you do, just do it. Just take 3 seconds. The first thing you do is to write a praise. I'm telling you, you'll end up filling up pages of that notebook if you start off in praise. It is a very good discipline, and it benefits you greatly. It really does. It's a way to pour out your heart that sometimes you can't do it with just words, between you and the Lord, because maybe you get distracted like me. Maybe you're crazy with a K like I am, and you can't sit still and you can't focus for more than 10 seconds at a time. Well, guess what I can focus when I'm doing is when I'm disciplining myself to write. It changes things. So please do that. And I just want to encourage you again in that to start off with praise. Because do you ever wake up feeling like you're worried and you're dreading the day and you haven't even got a foot out of the bed and you're already thinking of like the day's troubles? Like you're already fretting about like, how am I going to get to work on time? How am I going to pay this bill? I don't know, do I say hi to my husband, but I'm mad at him, or whatever it is. Like, I have to be faced with this boss that isn't kind to me, or this person who's really hurt me. Whatever it is, like, we often, you know, are, like, already worried and consumed before we ever get out of bed in the morning. But do you ever just think, if you just would say, like, good morning, Jesus. What do we have today? Like, I'm just grateful to be awake. I'm grateful to be alive, and I'm going to worship you. It's really simple, and it sounds silly, but it's such practical advice. Just a good morning, Jesus kind of advice. I really recommend you do it. I promise you it will change you. I promise you. So anyway, that's a little bit of my exhortation as we get into Psalm 145, is that we will all grow in our desire to worship and to praise him. And not just do it out of discipline, but I promise you're going to end up loving doing it as well. Psalm 34:1 says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praises will always be on my lips. We all love that. So in life, we wear many hats, right? Today, I walked by a car, and it said on the car, wife, mom, nurse. So those were her hats that she displayed on her car. She's a wife, she's a mom, and she's a nurse. And I thought about that a lot. Like, think of all the hats. And I started thinking of all of you ladies. I said, think of all the hats these ladies wear. And I love that Dixie and Debness are, like, literally wearing hats. Thanks, you guys, for my illustration. But I think of all the hats we wear. Like, we can wear the college student hat, right? The mom hat, the wife hat, the whatever, the loyal friend hat, the friend that is there when everybody else is a mess hat, whatever it is. We wear lots of hats in life, right? Tonight I'm the cook hat, or I'm the grocery shopper hat. I got to put that hat on, and you've got, you know, 15 hats. Like, which hat do I need to put on, right? We wear a lot of hats, but do you know that your main hat is that you're the daughter of the king? That's like your main hat. It's like, I got this, like, these are all like little goofy hats with that spinny thing on it. But this one, this is like the sombrero hat, like the big hat. Like, I am the daughter of the king hat. And that's so cool, right? Like, that one's the one that's like shiny and like, it should be the one that you put on, like, and you know what that hat means? It means that you're a worshiper of him. That's what that big, shiny, awesome hat. Everything else is like the twirly bird, like, lame hat. Like, it's all cool. Like, God's called you to do all those things, but this one's like, you're the daughter of the king hat. And that's so cool, because there is no higher calling than to be called his daughter and to be able to wear that hat. Do we understand what a privilege it is to be the daughter of the king, to put that hat on? Like, every other hat is just a little sub hat. Like I'm a mom, but I'm the daughter of the king hat. Like, such a cool thing. Put that hat on daily with just excitement and wonder and awe of the fact that, like, whatever is before you today, like, you're going to heaven. Like, that's enough. Right? Like, tomorrow, you're going to wake up and there's going to be trouble. Like, I guarantee you, it's not going to be a perfect day. It's just not, right? But if you start off in that awe and that wonder and that praise of being the daughter of the king, like, oh, well, so what? I spilled the milk. Big deal. I'm infamous for opening the back of my car and dropping gallons of milk out. I've done it like 1,000 times. Like, I never learn. And so, you know what? Oh, well, I'm going to cry over spilled milk. Like, I'm a daughter of the king. I'm going to heaven. I'll praise you anyway. I could get milk another time. We don't need milk. It's not that good for you. Anyway, so I do actually have an outline. That was my spiel before the outline. But my first point is to worship and praise God Almighty devotionally. So that's number one. Praise him devotionally. And that is what we sort of already spoke of. That's your personal time with him, right? That personal time, you guess what you get to be? As selfish as you want to be. That is your personal time with God. You be selfish, you eat it up. You spend as much time as he gives you to spend with him. That is just your time with him. And like I said, start everything with praise because it changes every other prayer. When you praise, every other prayer is changed. I promise you that. Some of the fruit that comes from that is a soft heart. It just does. It softens your heart because we're reflecting on his goodness. So all the things that you are about to bring before him, all of like the complaints and the requests and everything like that, you are now starting off with praise. Your heart is already changed before any other prayer is laid on the table. So it gives you a soft heart. The other thing it does is it gives you humility because you see God in his place and you see yourself in your place, right? Mm-hmm. So you have a soft heart and you have humility, which are beautiful things, right? God loves soft hearts and humility. Also, it's like we mentioned, it's practically working out discipline before you request something, right? So that discipline is the praising him before you go to him petitioning him. So praise him before you petition him. And then secondly, it changes your day quicker. This I want you guys, I want a praise report on this, okay? So if you start every single day with praise, I want to see how much quicker you are to repent when you do bad things, when you walk outside of God's will, when you, I don't know, kick the dog on the way out of the house because they got in your way, or you want to yell at the cashier at the grocery store because she was slow, or whatever it is, you're so much quicker to repent because you started off with praise. You started off with God in his proper place. Everything else falls into order. You're going to mess up, but you're going to be quicker to repent. That is the fruit of it. Even in the Lord's Prayer, in verse, the very, how it starts off is our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Do you know what hallowed means? Who knows what hallowed means? Yeah, it means honor. It means holy. It means praise, right? We're taught that we should go before God first off in praise. So do it, right? Do it. You guys, maybe you already all do it. This is very much a discipline to my heart. So the second point is to worship and praise God Almighty. This I made up this word, demonstrationally. That's not a word, I guess. I thought it was. But to worship and praise God Almighty demonstrationally. And that's just participating in life, right? It's just participating in life. It's relationally showing people Jesus. When you're out and about your everyday business, relationally showing people Jesus. It is our point, right? It is why we're here, right? It is. Where do you go day to day? What do? What's the kinds of things you do? Do you work? And, I don't know, do you go to the store? Do you get gas? All those things, your day-to-day business. When you're doing your day-to-day business, are you remembering to show people the Lord? Are you remembering to stop and to listen, to let your light shine? Are you remembering to share in people's hurts, to share in their burdens, to stop and to pray for them? Like, are you showing that this is our job? We have a purpose here. We do. That's our job. And how do we handle trials to the outside world? What do we look like? Are we, like, crumbled in a corner? Are we really relying on the Lord's strength? Is that what we're showing the world? That, like, God is good, he's faithful, and this is really hard, and this is really heartbreaking, but God is good. And I know I watched many of you go through some really hard trials, and I am overly honored to see how some of you have endured those trials, and you really have. let your light shine. So I preach to the choir because so many of you all are my example in these things. But Elizabeth Elliot said this: today is mine, tomorrow is none of my business. If I peer anxiously into the fog of the future, I will strain my spiritual eyes so that I will not see clearly what is required of me now. Very true, huh? Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God. Not by work, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And then, of course, Matthew 5, 14 says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." That is our calling. The third point is to worship and praise God Almighty devotedly. Devotedly. And this is our preparation for heaven. And it's finishing this race. It's finishing this life. Are you going to finish well? Are you going to finish this race well? What do you think of the most? What do you spend your time thinking about? What do you think of the most? It shows a lot about your heart on what you think of the most. And maybe that's something after your time of praise. Maybe ask the Lord, "Lord, what do I think of the most?" And write that down and be honest. He already knows what you think of the most. So be honest. What do you think of the most? What occupies your time? What is your thoughts when you think about Jesus? What about when you think of people without Jesus? What are your thoughts? Do you care? Does it affect you? Are you burdened by it? All of those things. Ask the Lord. And then ask the Lord for help in getting you to think his thoughts, right? To think what he wants you to think. Think about heaven. Practically, think about heaven. Think about people's souls. Do we care? Do we really care? And sometimes the honest answer is, we don't really care. And so ask the Lord to help us to care. If you're at a place and you see someone lost and hurting and burdened, and if you walk away from that, go to the Lord and ask him to help you care. I've been there. We've all been there, right? Where we don't just genuinely broken for other people, and we ought to be. Remember what your calling is on life. Your calling is to not be whatever you are, a fashion designer or, an accountant or a teacher. That's not your highest calling. Remember, your highest calling is that you're the daughter of the King. That's the best hat, the shiniest hat, the biggest hat. Everything else is secondary and third and fourth and on the line, down on the line from that. That's your biggest thing. Chuck Smith said, "If through faith you have placed your eternal destiny in the loving hands of Jesus Christ, you can be sure that God is at work, shaping the events and circumstances of your life into a beautiful mosaic that will reveal his Son to the men and women around you. His hand is on you, as it has been since before you were born." There was a young girl, some of you have probably heard of her. Her name was Kayla Mueller, and she was a humanitarian worker, and she was in Jordan, and she was captured and killed by an ISIS leader in Jordan. And her last words that she journaled were this. This is why you should journal. This is what her parents get to know. She said, "I have surrendered myself to our Creator because literally there was no one else. And by God and by your prayers, I have felt tenderly cradled in free fall." Pretty amazing that's the words her parents get to know were her last words, right? And most importantly, worship changes our whole perspective on life, doesn't it? It grounds us. It centers us and it focuses us on eternity. Changes our whole perspective. So my prayer for each of us again is that we would become more heavenly minded as we study Psalm 145, and that we would be just excited, looking forward to heaven and looking forward to serving the Lord devotionally, demonstrationally, and devotedly. So the next 7 weeks, let's spend it growing together. Is that ideal? Yeah? Should we put our hands in? Come on. Come on. on three, Psalm 145. One, two, three, Psalm 145. All right. I'm going to close this in prayer. And then I think Jill and Val are coming up. Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, and we do worship and we do praise you. God, thank you, Lord, that we are your daughters, Lord. We are daughters of the King, God, and we're so grateful and honored that we can put on that hat, God, that we are your child, Lord. You love us so passionately, God, and it's such a wonderful amazement to us when we think of your sacrificial love and your perfect love for us, God. As we get into this psalm, God, we just ask that you would grow us, that you would teach us, and that we would learn to worship and to praise you just in a way that would please you and bless you, God. Bless each and every one of these women, Lord, wholeheartedly. Lord, whatever they're going through right now personally, God, I just pray that tonight they would surrender it to you. In Jesus' name, amen.